Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. All right, this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast number 111, 111th episode. Wow. It is the week of Election Day, 2010, and this is a very special week for a couple reasons. One is my dog turns 2, I did on Halloween, and this week is also my 15th wedding anniversary. Been married to the same woman for 15 years, my only marriage. November 4th to be exact. Remember the day I got married, it was a beautiful fall day. A little crispy outside, and we left the wedding reception in my Ford Ranger pickup truck that I had at the time. And my fraternity buddies from college that were there took Oreo cookies and opened them up half and stuck the cookies on the windshield. Because I told them I wasn't going to put up with shaving cream and all that other crud. So they fixed me real good. They put cookies all over the windshield, and the windshield wipers had a hard time getting them off. Oh boy, what a day that was. That was a whirlwind. Anyway, got my dog Blue with me today, and we're headed out to the old Ashland trolley line and targeting 5 to 6 miles today. Beautiful weather. It's probably 60 degrees, a little bit of a breeze. It's sunny. And got a lot on the agenda today. For the show. I don't know if I'll remember it all while I'm out here. Might have to head back in and finish the show inside, but I guess you could probably say I'm training. I've selected a race that I'm going to train for. Actually, two. A marathon and beyond for the spring. And got a lot of emails from listeners over the last couple weeks. So we're hitting on those. It's probably going to be a longer show. And I think what I want to do is, since I got some emails from some new listeners, I'm going to go ahead and reintroduce myself, I guess. My name's Ashlyn Dave, and the way I got that nickname was I used to be on a half marathon training team some years ago, and there were two Daves on the team, and I was from Ashlyn. So I got named Ashlyn Dave. So I figured when I start, come on Blue. So I figured when I started the podcast, might as well just go with that. So that's how I got that. Live in Ashlyn, Virginia, which is affectionately known by locals as the center of the universe. That was a phrase coined by a former mayor many years before I came here. Apparently he started a speech one time by saying, "Isn't it a wonderful day in the center of the universe?" And so that name kind of stuck. Ashland, Virginia is located in central Virginia between Richmond and Washington, D.C. Matter of fact, it's just 12 miles north of Richmond. And it's the only incorporated town in the Richmond metropolitan area. And it's really nice. It's a nice small town, about 7,000 people. And I've lived in Ashland since 1998. Now, I am a slow runner. I've done 10 regular length marathons, 4 ultra marathons of various lengths, 2 50Ks, a 40 miler, which was actually 42.2, and also a 50 miler. 50 miler being my most recent ultra, and the new distance that I'm interested in. My marathon PR is 4:17:37. So as you can see, that's how long it takes for me to carry my 210-pound ass over 26.2 miles. I'm working on cutting some weight. It's just not really happening. I will say that I have quit drinking soda. At least I have for the last couple weeks. I don't even remember the last day. I just stopped doing it. I know it's been at least 2 work weeks. I was hoping that would kind of help a little bit with maybe, some weight. Maybe the other stuff that comes in 12-ounce cans is really what's doing it. You know, the golden adult beverages that are frequently referred to in invitations when somebody puts BYOB at the bottom. So I also do 10Ks, 5Ks. I support the local Richmond running community as best I can in my podcast, which I've been doing for a couple of years now. I don't always catch every race. I don't have a calendar of races. I kind of pick and choose the ones that are kind of hot at the time that I have time to talk about. I've tried to do a weekly podcast, but it's become too difficult over time. So now it's about every 2 weeks. Oh man, I've only been out running for a few minutes and I'm already slipping a little bit. So I guess that's about it for me. I haven't had any DNFs in my marathons or ultras yet. The reason I bring that up is because I'm going to talk about a race that I've gotten excited about that could very well happen. If you listen to the show, you know that I went down to Crewe for a friend who ran the North Face 50 Mile at Pine Mountain, Georgia near Atlanta. And that was all trails, mountain trails. A guy named Rodney. What we were talking about, kind of curious. Hey, Blue, get my dog leashed up again here. Come here. We wanted to know how we'd do on a road 50 miler. Now, those are very hard to find because of logistics, meaning, it's hard enough to put on a marathon. Start putting on an ultra that could be span the 12 hours or more. I mean, you gotta pay police to be out there. That's usually around $28 an hour. So it gets expensive. Anyway, I think we found one, or at least I did, and I proposed it to him and he got excited about it. And it's called the Keys 100 Ultra. And it's Keys as in Florida Keys. And they have the 50 miler as well with the 100. And that's the one I'm interested in now. It's May 14th of 2011. I've really been going over this a lot in my head on whether I could do it or not. They got a video on the website. I've tried to consume as much information about it as possible. I mean, anything that I could find, reviews, people's race reports. I've really tried to consume as much as I could to see if it was something that I could do or even try before I even proposed it. Rodney jumped on board right away. Now the 100 miler starts in Key Largo and goes to Key West, counting down the mile markers as you go. 50 miler starts in appropriately named Marathon, Florida, and goes to Key West. So logistics could be quite a nightmare. You gotta have a support vehicle. There's no aid stations. It's all self-supported. Right, when I say self-supported, what I mean is no aid stations. So you gotta have everything in your crew vehicle. And obviously, there's bridges between the islands, so you have to only stop at designated places. And I think it'd be a good opportunity for my wife to crew and maybe even combine crews with Rodney. So anyway, I was looking at the website, just trying to envision the ramp up, the mental preparation before doing a 50. And I started getting a little excited, so we'll see how it goes. I'm trying to get a base now. I did 20 miles last week. I did 4 or 5 milers. I didn't run a 20 miler. Just trying to get a base so I can start doing those long runs, increasing it. Take it easy, try to avoid injury. Now to prepare for, I haven't registered anything yet. Really just been talking a lot about it and trying to see. The heat is gonna be a problem. The distance, which doesn't sound crazy, the distance I don't think will be as big a problem as the heat, because I've already covered that distance and close to it a couple times. You know, that's the tropics, and there will be some heat issues, but you know, it's relatively flat except for some of the bridges, so I don't think I'll have the blistering like I did at North Face back in June of this year. And you know, I'll practice with duct tape, and there'll be another experiment, you know, a racing experiment. Now, I already got one of those hats that has flaps, so I will probably try that out in the spring, get used to wearing that, and you know, do some other things. Because, you know, I've said before in the podcast how much I hate running in the heat in the summer. Well, keep in mind, that was 100 degrees. It's going to be 80s in the Keys in May. No. So, and with breeze, you know, a breeze. So, we'll see. I don't know. Anyway, I got excited thinking about it, and I kind of needed that. So, in order to prepare for that, that'll require at least one or two marathons, or at least training runs of that distance and more in the spring. So I thought, you know, might as well add one or two marathons to my history. So I was looking at Charlottesville again, which is April 9th, and that's a hilly course. I ran it 2 years ago, I ran 426, I think. Last year I ran 437. A little disappointed with my finishing time last year, but it really wasn't too bad considering I was using that marathon as a training run for the 50 that I did 2 months after that. So, you know, I get kind of competitive with myself. It was a different course anyway. They changed the course from 2 years ago to last year. So what I'm interested in hearing from any listeners who has any experience running in the Florida Keys or with that specific race, and I'll put a link at ashlanddave.podbean.com to their website, or you just go in your favorite search engine and put Keys 100 Ultra or something along those lines, and you'll find it. So if anybody has any experience either with that race, knew somebody that ran it, knew somebody that didn't finish it, you know, I'd like to consume all the information I can about it. And my wife is very excited about going on a vacation to the Florida Keys, which we've never been to before. So what I'll do is I'll, you know, take vacation from work. We'll go down early. Probably have my parents come up and stay at the house, because my daughter will need to go to school. And we'll take ourselves a nice vacation. We haven't been on a trip together, just the two of us, in a while. I guess it's okay to leave your kid at home, right? Alright, we're gonna get out soon on the trail. Let Blue run off the leash for a few minutes. I don't think there's anybody down here. So I've been asked, you know, why another 50 miler? And, you know, to people who don't run super long distances, you know, you don't really answer that question. You just make a joke, because they're not going to understand if you give them the real reason. Well, here's the real reason, and this is being 100% honest with myself, is I don't want it to break me again. The 50 miler broke me physically. My feet fell apart in my shoes, and they were hurting so bad, and I knew they were injured, and I kept on going. because the mind was stronger than my body that day. Even though it was in the... Oh, nine. Look, come here. Look. That's somebody up on the path up here. Hi. How y'all doing, sir? Come on, Luke. Those people probably heard me talking to myself. Never really seen anybody down here on Stony Run Trail before. I didn't want Blue to bother me. Just a couple sitting by the creek that has a little bit of water in it. Alright, well, like I was saying, the 50 miler, it broke me physically. Not mentally though, because I never wanted to quit. And I even ran on those severe and ultra blisters I had with my skin falling apart. I just got a perfect toss in the back of my shoe. I knew I was hurting bad, and I kept on going because I wanted to finish that thing. I just, you know, might have been foolish. It's not foolish to distance runners though, I mean, because they understand why you want to finish even if you're hurt. So it's much like the first marathon I ran that broke me mentally, meaning I finished in 4 hours, 44 minutes, and 59 seconds, but, I mean, I had my head down. I was done. I mean, I was just done. I was irritable, argumentative. I've since learned how to control that in a marathon. I've seen it in other first-timers that I've run with. It just comes, it happens. But, you know, I did another one, and that was a victory. Second marathon I did, which was the Baltimore Marathon. First one being in Richmond, which they call the friendliest marathon in the country, I guess, something like that. It's November 13th of this year. So that's why I'm doing another 50, because I'm not going to let it break me physically. It's got a generous 16-hour cutoff because of the heat. And believe it or not, it starts at 10 in the morning. To be finishing in the dark, which is a really, it kind of intrigues me a little bit. So that's why another 50, because I don't want it to break me. And I want to see how I do with that distance when the trail variable is taken out of it. I'm just curious. Now I know that there are trail ultra purists that would have negative things to say about a road ultra. But hey man, 50 miles is 50 miles. It's time on your feet. You know, what venue you select is up to the individual. I'm gonna walk for a minute. I gotta get this. Blue, come here. I gotta put the leash back on my dog anyway. I like running with him in areas where I can let him run free a little bit, and then I'll bring him back in. Because to me, there is only a few sights in this world. I'm a dog lover. I love my dog. There are only a few sights in this world is pleasing to seeing the dog run free and just seeing how their back legs can sometimes get up over their head, and just how excited and how happy it makes them when they just run free like that. I've always enjoyed seeing that. Where we used to live before we moved into the town, we had lived in an old farmhouse that was built in 1870. And they had a lot of the old house problems, as you can imagine. Put a lot of money into it. We had a lot of cash flow. We moved into it and, you know, did a lot of stuff. It was really cool. It sat on several acres. And, of course, you know, we did the whole mini farm thing. You know, a couple coming from the city. Got chickens, had a big garden, planted pumpkins, strawberries. Man, it was a lot of fun, a lot of work. Anyway, part of that acreage was a large field. Matter of fact, there was a road that went back adjacent to one side of the property that was actually called Herman Field Road after that big field on the back part of the property. Anyway, That's where I taught my dog that died a couple weeks ago, Basil, how to catch a frisbee on the fly, because it was just so much space. And of course, you know, you earned that space by spending 5 hours on the lawn tractor. I don't miss that part of it. Anyway, my point being, it was just really pleasing to see a dog running without any constraints, no leash, fences. Of course, we had an underground fence because we didn't want them to run off when we weren't there. Now, some of you regular listeners have heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again. I have just killed 32 minutes. After I edit the show, I'm not sure how much material I'll have left, but I've been talking to myself now for 30 minutes. I've killed 3 miles of my 5 to 6 mile training run. Feeling pretty good. Try it. Start your own podcast. It's pretty easy. That's kind of how I started. Simple digital recorder. That's all you do. So I think my dog is getting a little tired. He's not running. I've got him off the leash now. He's not running up as far ahead of me. He keeps turning around, see if I'm there. So I meant to say earlier, if you're a new listener now, I know we've got a few, because I heard from them. Two things, you might be wondering, why you're only doing 20 miles a week if you know, done all these marathons? Well, I was hurt for 2 weeks. I couldn't walk, and I just wanted to make it known that if you are interested in seeing what happens when you add friction, moisture, and heat in that deadly triangle, and you subject your feet to that, well, I've got a photo for you. If you want to see what that looks like, you can send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com, and I will get back to you. No doubt about it. So that's why I had to kind of start over this summer. What was kind of strange, though, is that even after not doing anything for 2 weeks, and then I think I just kind of eased back into it, I still did a half marathon in late August. Patrick Henry half. I run all 4 of those, so I wanted to kind of keep my streak alive. But we had there's a second subject of this week's podcast, is race timing. Oh, another journey. If you're new listening, you'll get to go along with me on my journey to my next 50. And as a special bonus, you'll also get to hear about the ups and downs of being a race director, because I've been, I think by the process of elimination, been selected and I so graciously accepted to be the race director for the 33rd or 34th annual Ashland Railroad Run 10K, which attracts between 600 and 800 runners to our little town. And if you've been listening to the show, I know I keep saying that, you probably heard me last year. I redid the course to some people's dismay, but it was required by the police. But anyway, I've been selected to actually, I guess, be the chairperson of the race committee, I guess is a better way to put it. And I already got some anxiety about that. So that'll be a special bonus now. That'll coincide with my 50-mile training, because the Ashland Railroad Run is late April. And then the next Ultras, hopefully, if I'm healthy and able to get to the starting line, it'll be May 14th. All right, last weekend, we had the Tiger Trot 5K here in town, which is a local race to raise money for the PTAs of Henry Clay Elementary School and John Gandy Elementary School. And the two schools are very closely linked, because Henry Clay is K1 and 2, John Gandy is 3, 4, 5. So, you know, there are families that might have kids in both elementary schools. It's only because of the size of the schools, because they're old and historical. The race was a huge success. For the 4th year, I was the lead guy on the bike because part of the race goes through a trail and I lead everybody. And the guy doing the timing, his name is Mark Junkerman. He put together a 24-hour relay race that I did a couple years ago. Anyway, he did the race timing. $400 is what he got paid. And probably less than 4 hours work. And I thought to myself, man, that'd be a pretty lucrative thing to get into. Of course, you'd have to buy the equipment. I mean, I got college. I should be able to figure it out, right? So that's something I might look into. But I'm interested to hear from anybody that does race timing. And, you know, is it worth it? You know, is it worth the stress of your stuff messing up or whatever? You know, the pressure of getting the race results out before people go home, that kind of thing. All right, well, I'm about 4.5 in. I think I'm going to make 6 today. I did a second loop on the Ashland Trolley Line, which will put me far enough from home. I should be able to get a couple extra tenths, put me at 6. And that's a bit of a milestone because I've just been doing 5 miles lately. So we're all pretty pleased with today's run. Most of it being with me talking to myself. All right, let's get into the email bag section of the show. And I have to say that once, as I was editing the show for this week, I did notice that I definitely breathe very heavy when I'm running, and I guess it sounds like I'm kind of winded. But that's, you know, I felt pretty good at that pace. I ended up doing 6 and felt pretty good. So let's get into the email bag section of the show. I heard from Rich from the Woodlands, Texas. Rich is a loyal original listener, and matter of fact, he said that he was in the Atlanta area the same weekend that me, Rodney, and Tom were. And I said he was thinking about us out there. The weather was perfect. It sure was, Rich. And I think you've got a marathon coming up. I think the Austin Marathon. That's in February. So hopefully your training's going good for that. And I appreciate you sending in the email on the show. It's always good to hear from you. And I also heard from Kevin out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, which is not too far from War Trace, which is where the Sterling Gym 40-mile Road Ultra Marathon is held. He says that he's been following the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast for the past couple months after Alan over at Running with the Pack mentioned my show on his podcast. So, Alan, thanks for giving me that plug. And, Alan, I'm still listening to your show. It's a pretty good show if you haven't checked out Alan Gorky's podcast at Running with the Pack. Just search for that. It's he's a professor at in State College, Pennsylvania, and does all kinds of endurance stuff, and he's got a really good podcast. Anyway, Kevin's wrote in that he wrote he ran the Murfreesboro middle half marathon, and actually set a personal record of, let's see, I think he ran 2:10:30, which is outstanding. However, and he's got an interesting video of that he sent me a link to, but the link itself was a little too confusing to put it out on the podcast. But if you go to YouTube and search Murfreesboro, that's Murfreesboro, middle half marathon, I'm sure you'll be able to find it. It's a pretty good video of the race. Even though Kevin set a PR, his race started off on a bad note. First of all, he had some GI issues. Then when he got there, he missed his running group photo before the race, and then he couldn't find the guy that he was supposed to be running with for that day. And then when he went to put his Garmin on, he realized that he had turned it on by accident the night before, so the batteries were dead. And then, of course, he said the final kicker was that the socks that he wanted to use to run and had been left at home, so he was stuck with what he had on, which was apparently not half marathon running quality. And I'm guessing that maybe he had stayed overnight somewhere else before he went to the race. Either that or he wore sandals to the race and then found out he didn't have a sock. Anyway, but he says the course was beautiful, nice and flat. Not a lot of walkers, a lot of good crowd support from the local community. And they had water stops every 2 miles. And it apparently finishes in the Middle Tennessee State University Soccer Stadium, and so then you have the last tenth of a mile to run for that. And he took 5 minutes off his previous half marathon PR. So well done, Kevin. Appreciate you writing in, and hopefully you'll continue to listen to the show.
Kevin shared with me some of his PR times, and he ran his 10K PR was just over 1 hour. And the reason I bring that up is because the name of the race is called the Run Chicken Run 10. So I'll have to look that up. It was held on September 11th of 2010. I'll have to look that up and see which race that is. I thought that was a funny name. So Kevin, appreciate you writing in. It's good to hear from you, and I appreciate the race report. It's always nice to hear them. I unfortunately have to kind of condense them a little bit to share on the show, but I do read them all, and I do appreciate you taking the time to share that with me. I also heard from Jen. Jen is out in the Midwest, and she said that she really likes the podcast, appreciates it a lot. She's kind of new to the running community. Over the summer, she got in her head that she was going to train for Chicago, which was held on October 10th. And I'm not sure if she ran it or not. She did register to run it. And she's raising money for Special Olympics. But she said that she didn't feel that she was ready to do it. So she's only going to run a couple miles here and there. But Jen, if you would write in and let me know if you did do that. I'm just kind of curious. She thought that she bit off more than she could chew. She's got a working on her master's, and also has a full-time job, and it's definitely hard to, you know, training for a marathon is actually like is just as like having another part-time job. So maybe she'll shoot for it next year. But Jen, appreciate you sending in the email. It's always nice to hear from new listeners, and as always, it really is. I really do appreciate that. A horse from Bob A. and from Richmond. And thanks for checking in, Bob. Bob is a mutual friend with Greta and Crash Kreider. These are two people from my Team Incognito group. We all trained at the John Rolfe half marathon some years ago. So, Bob, appreciate you checking in. Thanks for the email. Also heard from Tom, and this is going to be Tom Grant, my longtime running buddy. He likes to comment on the website at ashlanddave.podbean.com, which I always appreciate. And if you want to leave comments there, you can. You'll see them after a day or so after I make sure that it's not spam or anything like that. But the reason Tom's comment was funny because he said that at one point, Tom's the one that paced Rodney on the 50-mile after the last 22 miles a couple weeks ago in Atlanta. And he said that Rodney had uttered a phrase that pretty much summed up the whole day when he said, quote, "Hills are tough," unquote. And Tom said he had to keep from laughing, and Rodney was definitely tough. And Tom shared with me I didn't even look up the overall finish winning times, but Tom passed them on to me. And this is for the North Face Endurance Challenge Atlanta, which was actually held in Pine Mountain, which is outside Atlanta. Jeff Rose ran 7 hours 42 minutes, and he's one of the top ultra runners in the United States and the world. He ran a course record Mountain Massacre's 50, which is here in Virginia, last year in 6 hours 27 minutes. Man, I'm sleepy for some reason, and which was actually 54 miles. Second male came in at 8:56, so Jeff had a full hour plus some over his second-place opponent. And then the overall female winner was Nikki Kimball, who's also one of the top ultra-female runners in the United States. She ran 9 hours, 1 minute, and then the second female came in at 11:28. So you can see that course was pretty tough, even for elite runners. So Tom, appreciate you taking the time to hit the comments. Heard from Rob, the Ultra Dad. He sent in some condolences about us having to put our dog Basil down. And Rob, I appreciate you writing in. It was nice for you to do that. Also heard from Jamie on the Runner for Good blog spot. In fact, I'm going to link to her blog in my show. She's got a good blog. And I've run into Jamie. I ran into her at the Hatfield McCoy Marathon in West Virginia. And she ran the Marine Corps Marathon, which was, Halloween Day. And she also sent in her condolences about me having my dog die. And Jamie, I really appreciate one of the comments you put in your email about when you were listening to the podcast and the emotional response you had. That made me feel really good. Jamie's fortunate where she gets to take her dog to work every day with her for the last 8 years. And then she said it'd be sad that someday the dog won't be able to go to work. And you're absolutely right. We tend to think that dogs are going to last forever when we get them. But their lifespan really is just a fraction of ours. And I think what I've come to realize is that over the course of your lifetime, you'll get to experience several dogs if you get another dog after one dies. And it's funny how getting a new dog actually helps a lot of the pain of losing such a good little buddy, furry four-legged friend. Getting a new one really helps with some of that. So anyway, Jamie's been doing a couple sprint triathlons during Marine Corps on Halloween and possibly looking for a half Ironman in the future. So well done, Jamie. Check her blog at Running for Good, and I will link that at askondave.podbean.com because I can't remember if it's one of those dot blogspot sites or not, but I'll link on my site. Also heard from Cindy over at the Run With Me blog, and I'll also link to hers. She's got a good blog. She ran her first marathon up in, the New England area, maybe just north of that. She trained with a group, and she knew that from her training that she was going to be finishing between 5:15 and 5:30, and she finished in 5:25. And, Cindy put in her email, quote, running 26 miles is a challenge, but I really do think anyone can do it. And I agree with that. I think I'm one of these, I'm in the school of thought of the complete rather than compete. Because I've never won anything in my life, and I'm certainly not going to win anything running a marathon. But I tell you, crossing the finish line after running your first marathon, or even your second, your third, is just a great feeling. Because it really is a rewarding feeling of all the hard work, because you've totally earned it all on your own. It's not something that anybody gives you at all. But anyway, Cindy says she wants to try to run another one maybe next year to try to improve on her time. Break the 5-hour mark, and she had an unfortunate episode while they were out on the marathon. The car got broken into, and passenger side window got smashed out. DVD player was stolen, and from the car. And the funny thing about that was that they only probably use that DVD player twice a year, but still, you had to had smashed glass all over the car, and that was discovered right after they had their post-race celebration when they had some margaritas. So can you imagine going out to your car after you're sitting around totally relaxed with friends talking about the marathon? You go out to your parking deck or parking lot or whatever, and somebody's done smashed up your car. I mean, that just sucks. And then they had a 2.5-hour car ride home, which was no picnic, with a garbage bag taped around the window. And she said, talk about redneck, and she asked me, do we use that term in Virginia? And I'd already written her back an email, but I'm going to comment on it. Yes, we definitely use the term redneck in Virginia. And I think in Virginia, everybody's got a little bit of redneck in them. And, but if I saw somebody driving down the road with plastic on their window, they are definitely a redneck. So that is, Cindy. I guess everybody's got a little bit of redneck in them, including Northerners. So thanks for the email, and good to hear from you. And good luck on your 15K, which I guess is probably happening probably as I'm recording this. Heard from Rich D. Rich D is, I believe, from the Cincinnati area. And Rich, it was one of the recipients of one of the T-shirts, the Aston Railroad Run T-shirts I sent out with my friend Buddha. Rich is a he and a lady named Kathy are fans of the podcast. And Kathy, let's see if I can get this right. Kathy's coworker works with my friend Buddha, whose name is Anthony. We call him Buddha because he kind of looks like a Buddha, I guess. And I mean, it's an okay nickname. He's okay with it. And anyway, so it's finally nice to hear back from Rich to hear who the recipient of the shirts. And Rich was real excited about that. And Rich, appreciate you listening. Nice to hear from you, as always. And thanks for taking the time to send in the emails. I was kind of curious what happened to those shirts, so I was glad to hear that they did find a home somewhere. I also heard from Greg, Dr. Smitty, and Greg is kind of teetering on whether he's going to be doing a 50K, I think, around Thanksgiving. He's not sure. But he was also sending his condolences on my dog, and he said that he had to do the same thing with a Dalmatian a few years ago named Sydney. And he said that he had wished he had known about the drive-through last meal, which he said was a really cool idea for such a horrible situation. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, what I did is on a suggestion from a friend of mine who'd had to put dogs down before, he said what you ought to do is take your dog through the drive-through and get him a hamburger when you're on your way to the vet. So that's what I did with Basil. And I got her a hamburger from McDonald's, and when we got to the vet, we went out in the little yard in the front, and I fed it to her. So anyway, he's got a new dog named Cooper that's doing really good as a running partner, and apparently Greg runs about a 7:30 pace, and the dog still pulls him. All right, also heard from Christina over at the Lazy Bones Running blog, and I'll put a link in that at ashlanddave.podbean.com. She's got a very active blog. And she had mentioned that she did the Ragnar Relay, which I think was, where did you do it? I think she did it down close to her area in Arizona. And I had heard of these, and we had exchanged some emails, and she said that there's something that's really, really good to do. It's a lot of fun, and if you... It's R-A-G-N-A-R, so look that up if you want to know what it is. It's apparently very well. The logistics are excellent, which it's got to be a huge undertaking for these huge relay races. But I think it's a several hundred mile, it's a couple hundred miles relay, or maybe just over 100. And she wants to come out and do the one in New York, New England, or D.C. And I think the one in D.C. is for some reason, falls in September, if I'm not mistaken, because I think we had one of our folks on Team Incognito was interested in trying to put together a team at one point. We never did, but sounds like Christina had a great time, and I appreciate you sharing some of the details like that. Anyway, she's got a 16-year-old cat, and she sent in her condolences about my dog too. So yeah, it's a tough thing to put an animal down. As a matter of fact, I was at the cleaners this morning, and I was getting in my car, and I saw my friend Meriwether, who we ran the Shamrock together last year. So we did. We had formed another team called Team Doom, and we all trained and ran the Shamrock Marathon in Virginia Beach last year. Anyway, I saw her when I was over at the grocery store in the cleaners, and she told me that she and her husband have to put their dog down tonight. It's an old beagle named Jack that apparently I think Meriwether's husband Dave has had. Well, since before they got married. It's a real old dog. Apparently he's got some kind of bad cancer. Anyway, tonight's the night they're putting the dog down. So, you know, it's a very common thing. It's just, it's not a public death, so that's why most people don't really know about it. Anyway, I appreciate you checking in, Christine. It's always good to hear from you. Heard from a new listener, Sandy, out of Rochester Hills, Michigan, and she's an ultra runner. She did her first 50-miler at the end of August of this year. She's been listening to the show for the past few months, stumbled across it while she's looking for some new inspiration while running. So, Sandy, I'm glad you found the show. She's run 4 marathons, and like I said, she finished her first 50-miler. And the course she ran was a 25-mile loop that she did twice. Actually, this is the first one she didn't finish. She's actually finished the second one. But the first one was a 25-mile loop that was done twice. And after she finished the first loop, she stopped to change her shoes and socks and just had a hard time getting going again. Made it to mile 35, just couldn't go another step. Had terrible blisters under the balls of her feet. But she bounced back and signed up for another 50-miler at the end of September, so that's a little more recent. And she said she probably didn't even run 20 miles between the two races, so she learned how to prep her feet for the blisters, gave the race another try. And what she did... And this is interesting for me because I'm going to be running into this problem in the future when I do my next ultra is the blistering. Sandy put moleskin under the ball of her foot where there was still a blister when it became a hot spot and then covered it with duct tape. And on the other foot, she just put the duct tape directly on the ball of her foot. And she also wore those Njinji toe socks, which apparently did really good. Weather was good for the race. Cool, maybe 60. For the high of the day, 45 in the morning, and this was a three-loop course, and this time she never once thought about quitting, which is excellent. She said she heard a 6-year-old girl who was at one of the aid stations took a look at her leg, because Sandy apparently fell down and busted her leg open and pretty bad. And when she stopped at this aid station, this little girl said, my daddy says if the bone ain't showing, you got to keep going. So I thought that was pretty funny. Sandy wore the same socks and shoes the whole way. And finished in 13 hours and 1 minute. So I'm crying like a baby at the finish, which I can completely understand, Sandy. So thanks for sharing that. And it was good to exchange some emails with you about our mutual experiences with running and some other things. And I think she was also a recipient. She wanted to get the blister photo, which I sent it to her. And apparently she passed that around, I guess, to some of her coworkers, and they said that was pretty bad. So I'm going to throw that out there again. If there's any takers, this is the severe and ultra blistering photo from my 50-mile experience. And if you see the photo, I have to say, you will be surprised to hear that I was running on those blisters because it's just basically raw. So it's pretty bad. It's not pornographic or anything. But anyway, if you want that, I'll send it to you. That's at ashlanddave@gmail.com. I'll be happy to send it. Nobody can blackmail me with because my face is not in it, but it's pretty bad. And one of the last things that Sandy had wrote in one of her emails was wanting to know if I could recommend any other books, because she had ordered the book Step Beyond, The Definitive Guide to Ultra Running, which is an excellent book. It's edited by Don Allison. It's lots of different articles written by different people. But I'm going to recommend two other books, and one is called Running Through the Wall, Personal Encounters with the Ultra Marathon, and it's by Neil Jamison. But it's got stories by Ann Trason, Tim Tweetmeyer, Don Horton, and Ian Torrance, and several others. And it's got a foreword by Don Allison, who is from Ultra Running Magazine. This is a book of several stories. And what I've done is I've actually mashed down the corners of several stories in here to go back and read and to kind of get inspiration and see how these people break through and run these long distances. And there's some runners in here that are from Virginia, which I thought was really good. So that's called Running Through the Wall, Personal Encounters with the Ultra Marathon. And there's another one called To the Edge, A Man, Death Valley, and the Mystery of Endurance. And this one's by Kirk Johnson. If you've ever seen the movie Running on the Sun, which is about Badwater, I think the 2001 or 2002 Badwater Ultra Marathon and across Death Valley, Kirk Johnson was one of the people featured in that movie. He was a newspaper writer for the New York Times, and his story is very interesting. He's he lacks a lot of self-esteem after his brother committed suicide, and so he went on this journey to try to figure out why he wanted to run. And there's a lot of interesting perspectives in that book that about ultra running, and I thought that was good. So those are the two other books that I can recommend. Number one being A Step Beyond, A Definitive Guide to Ultra Running. And the other, probably in second place, would be Running Through the Wall, Personal Encounters with the Ultra Marathon. And actually, I actually liked Ultra Marathon Man, too, the one that Dean Karnazes wrote. One last thing about Sandy that she did. I had talked about how Dean Karnazes had left early at the North Face Atlanta. And what she did is she actually sent a message to him through the Facebook site, and he apparently responded back, and she had sent me that conversation, and looks like Dean was a little confused about when the race was over, because he definitely was not there at the finish when my friend Rodney came through, because after the awards were done at 6 o'clock, I didn't see any more of Dean, and then I guess he forgot that the race cut off at 7 p.m., but I don't think he did it on purpose, so I'm willing to forgive him on that, but you know, my bud Rodney missed his opportunity to get a photo with Dean, you know, the Ultra Marathon Man, all that. So, anyway, it's a shame, but sometimes that's just the way things go. So, anyway, that's the email for this week. A lot of it. I kind of built up a little bit. It's a much longer show this week, just because of the content. I needed to catch up on some of the emails. And, you know, if you want to send me an email, let me know what you're up to, you know, what kind of stuff, distance running you're doing. That's at ashlanddave@gmail.com, and I always welcome comments about the show. Of course, I do prefer the positive comments. I'm not really into a whole lot of negative stuff, and I'm not really going to probably change too much about the show. So I've got a real good grassroots effort here. I probably have about 500 downloads a week, if that many. So the show is at a very manageable level. I don't make any money doing it. I don't plan to make any money doing it, at least not at this point. It hasn't really taken off, so it's definitely not going to be a moneymaker. But the reason I do it is because I like to talk about distance running and share my experiences with others in the hopes that perhaps somebody can get some inspiration from some little tidbit that I pass along that I've learned along the way. I certainly haven't made any of this stuff up myself. I've picked it up from other people along the way. And now that I have this this next 50-miler to look for, which is going to be part of a vacation in May, I got to say I'm pretty excited about running again. I just got to drop about 10 pounds. So hopefully that will come as I increase my runs. I was setting up my schedule. I was looking at, there's if you do a search for Santa Clarita runners, in California, they have a training calculator on there where you can put in the date of your race, and it'll, you know, march everything back to the weeks with the dates on it, where you can know the mileage you're going to do. And it looks like I have to start by January, but that means I have to be up to running 8 miles. So I'm going to be set getting my base. I'm not really going to be doing anything. And the Charlottesville Marathon in April 9th is going to fit real good into that. I might have to swap some weeks out. But the main thing about the ultra training is that's when you start doing the double long runs, which means you do long run on Saturday, followed up by another long run on Sunday, and then you sandwich it by rest days on Friday and Monday. And I think Adam or somebody over at the I Am Boring blog told me once that he calls that the Big Mac or something like that. But anyway, so I'll be gearing up and giving a lot of, talking about that, thinking about that kind of stuff in the next couple shows, as well as how the Ashland Railroad Run, race directing, being on the committee, maybe we'll share some of the responsibilities. I'm not sure how it's all going to work, but I will be talking a lot about that in upcoming shows as well. So there's going to be lots of material, lots of fodder for the podcast, probably right through next spring. So this is Ashland Dave. I'm in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia. Thank you for downloading the show and listening. It's good to have you along, and I'll be back for episode 112 in a week or so. And this is Ashland Dave reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a good week.
Thank you.